Christ makes us worthy of. The deepest sin can't rise above Calvary's love. Calvary's love can heal the spirit life has crushed and cast aside.
Amen. Glory to God. Well, that's a good song. I have a good mind to have him come back and sing that again if it wasn't for those high parts, Brother Raphael. But I'm going to spare you. Man, I was helping you, man. I got on the edge of my seat there to help you get up there. You ever do that when somebody's singing? You know the song and you know when the high parts and you kind of help them get up there? You know, I looked around and saw it. You know, so many people have been busy today, and it is a tiring day. It reminded me of the story of the mom that had done everything she could to get her son to pick up stuff in his bedroom. She tried everything. You know how we do moms and dads, you know, and finally we get to making threats and stuff. And so she thought, you know what I'm going to do? She said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start charging him for every piece of clothing that I pick up out of his room. So she brought him in there and she said, son, she said, I've told you and told you, I'm tired of telling you to pick up the items on the floor in your room. She said, I'm going to start charging you for every item. I'm going to charge you a penny for a sock. I'm going to charge you a nickel for a shirt and a dime for every pair of pants I have to pick up off the floor. He said, all right, Mom. So she thought, well, that'll do it. So she went in the next day, and she got him off to school, and she thought, man, this is going to be great. I'm going to go ahead. That room is going to be spick and span. She went in there, and it looked like a catastrophe, like a tornado hit it. She thought, I can't believe it. So she thought, that's all right. I'm going to keep my promise. So she went and picked up every item on the floor, got her little piece of paper and added it all up. She said, you wait till that little rascal gets home. So he gets home. He's all happy, and she said, son, come here. I want you to sit down. He goes in and sits down, and she said, I want you to know I went in your room. It was terrible. I picked up every item. I told you a penny a sock, 5 cents for a shirt, 10 cents for every pair of pants I picked up. She said, I totaled it all up, and you owe me $2.90. And he says, reached in his pocket, pulled the money out, laid it in, and said, there you go, Mom. Keep up the good work. You know, there's always a way around the system.
Any of you parents ever tried stuff like that and you thought, boy, shoot, that didn't work? Those kids, man, they got us figured out. They just pay you off and keep up the good work. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41. Now, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast tonight, all right? Because I know I've only got about 20 minutes, and some of you are going to be chasing Peter Pan here in a minute. So I'm going to try to get this done. So if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, all right? Genesis 41, if you'll find your place there in verse number 46. And stand with me, if you would, tonight. Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 46. Now, you'll recognize this once you get to Genesis 41. You'll realize this is the story of Joseph, who has now been delivered out of prison, is now in charge. As a matter of fact, he's the second in line of all the kingdom of Egypt. And he's put in control, and as you know, he's already interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And basically the dream was this, if you're not familiar with this portion of Scripture, the dream came back, Joseph interpreted, there would be 7 years of plenty, and then there would be 7 years of famine. And so, because Joseph had interpreted the dream, Pharaoh had made him second in command of all the kingdom, and basically put Joseph in charge of, during that 7 years of plenty, of making sure that during the 7 years of famine, that everybody would have enough to eat. Joseph, being a wise man, did the right thing. Now I want you to notice, if you would please, in verse 46, the Scripture says, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. The food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. Now those are important words, because he didn't go and to start distributing at that particular time. He began to store the food. He began to put it away for days that he knew were coming, the 7 years of famine. And if you'll notice there in verse 49, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Skip down to verse 53. And the 7 years of plenteous that was, and the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt was ended. Uh-oh, now we got problems. Now listen to me. Now we're going to find out if Joseph did the job. Now we're going to find out if he stored enough in the 7 years of plenty to carry him through the 7 years of famine. We're going to find out if he was wise enough, if he was smart enough to get the job done. Well, let's find out. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, and according as Joseph had said, the dearth was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, where did he tell them to go? Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Now I want you to notice those passages of Scripture where he stored up, and then did you notice in verse 56 it says, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Kind of sounds like he used a little wisdom and stored up during the 7 years of plenty, because he knew there were 7 years of famine coming. Here's what I want to talk to you tonight about, church, and that's this: storing makes sense. Storing makes sense. Father, bless our time together tonight. We ask that you teach us, Holy Ghost of God, from the Word of God. Open our hearts so we might receive the message that you have for us tonight. We ask that you do something special in our hearts when we leave this place, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, the storage business is a very big business today. You can't hardly go anywhere around the Metroplex and you see them clearing off a piece of land. And you think, boy, I wonder what they're going to build there. Is it going to be a hotel? Is it going to be a restaurant? Is it going to be something you go back 6 months later? You know what it was? It's a storage place. They're building them everywhere. You know why? Because people don't have enough room in their house to store everything. And by the way, you know what? People don't go pay good money for a storage room or a storage area. They don't go pay good money for that if the stuff that they put in there is not worth saving. They're not going to waste time spending money renting a storage compartment to put junk in. They're going to put the stuff in there that is valuable to them, something that they can keep. I'm telling you, there's storage places on every corner. They're everywhere. Now, the other day I was driving down the street, and anybody ever seen these little, looks like a dumpster with a top on it? They're called pods. You ever seen those things? Well, you know, all I ever saw was the big P-O-D-S on the side. I never looked to see what it said underneath there. And so I swung back by there, and I thought, man, you know, I've always been wondering what that word pods means. And so I drove back by there, and I looked on there, and it says portable on-demand storage. I thought, portable on-demand storage. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, boy, you know what? I think most of us believers could use a little bit of that. Most of us believers could use a little bit of storing away because it makes sense. Now, there has to be something of value if we're going to store it away. If it's just junk, then we're not going to spend the money in order to invest in something, a rental compartment like a pod, right? Now, may I say to you tonight, dear church, that one of the biggest shortcomings that we have as a believer is a storing process and a storing problem. You realize the word came to Joseph, there will be 7 years of plenty, there will be 7 years of famine. Now some of us act like it's going to be all plenty and there'll never be famine. So what's the use of storing anything? What's the use of taking anything and storing it away? Because, hey, we're just going to eat, drink, and be merry till Jesus comes. Well, it'd be great if it was that way, but golly, it's not like that in my life. Boy, you know what? Things will be going good, like Friend Day 2408. Man, a bunch of people saved and baptized, and man, we think, man, it can't get any better than this. Oh, God can get great, much better than this. And then we think, boy, we're on the way to the top. It's not going to get any worse than this. May I say to you, at every corner where there's a victory, bank on it, my friend, there will always come famine. Every time there's plenty, you can always bank on it, there will come famine. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's up to us to either store, which makes sense, or not store. We're either going to have to store away the things of God, or we're going to let them go by the wayside. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that most of us are disposing of the most important things that we need to store away for a time of famine in our life, and we're throwing it away like we take out the garbage. That's the reason some of us are having a hard time surviving, because we're not doing any storing. We're not taking the values of the Word of God and storing them away. You see, we've overlooked the storage process, and for some reason we bought into this idea of performance. That all we have to do is perform, and we'll be all right. Can I say something to you? Hey, I'm all for working. I'm all for teaching Sunday school, working as hard as we can work. But you know what? There's going to come a famine in your life. There's going to come a time of famine. You're going to need more than just performance. You're going to need more than just serving. And may I say to you, Joseph could have stood back and said, boy, I hope we have enough. We filled up two pods. You reckon that's going to be enough? Now, he had 7 years. And he gathered. And by the way, did you notice it wasn't that God didn't provide? The Bible says the land began to produce in handfuls. It became fruitful. And Joseph then began to collect it as it came in and stored them away. Did they have enough in time of famine? Oh, yeah. Not only did they have enough for the people in Egypt, they had enough for people outside of Egypt as well. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, we got a problem. Our problem is we don't think storing makes sense. But it does. It does. Because if a famine hasn't come your way yet, it will. If you haven't faced a trying time in your life, you will. And listen, as much as I'm for service and working, let me tell you something. When that day and that famine comes, you're going to need more than that. Because let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to go back and sit on your bus or go kneel in your Sunday school class, and that's going to do something for you and carry you through the famine. You better have something stored in these pods. Because you know what you're going to need? You're going to need something on demand. You're going to need storage on demand. That means when it comes, you're going to need it right then. You say, all right, Brother Todd, I'm raring to go. What do we need to store? Well, take your Bible. You're going to need it tonight. We're going to flip through several passages of Scripture tonight. First of all, we better store the Word of God. We better store the Word of God. Look, if you would, Psalm 119. You'll recognize it when you get there. But I want you to circle a key word in that verse. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to begin reading in verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. All right, everybody got your place there? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy... Does your King James Bible say thy word? All right, circle that phrase. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And then verse 11, we teach our kids from the time they can even speak, we teach them this verse. Thy word have I hid in mine. I want you to circle the next word, in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. He didn't say hide it in your head so that you can quote it and then forget it. He said hide it in your heart. You see, the issue that we have tonight, church, is not that we don't work hard. You see, the issue is not that we don't serve hard. We proved that today. Well, we had some people served hard today. That's not our problem. The problem is we don't think storing the Word of God makes any sense. Because you know what it's going to take? It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. And yet, the thing that's going to help you in your greatest time of need is the very thing we don't seem to think makes any sense. Now listen very carefully to me. We need to store the Word of God, and the Scripture says that we're to hide it in our heart. That's the reason the Scripture says we're to keep our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. That means it's the most important thing that we need to store something in. You know what that pod is that dwells within you? It's your heart. It's that portable storage on demand that dwells in your heart that you and I are to put something into so when that day of famine comes, I can draw it out. See, a lot of these people that rent these pods, they rent them to hang up. They put tools in, and they bring them out on their businesses and stuff. Why? So it's easily accessible. That's the reason it's called on-demand storage. Let me give you something to think about. First of all, we're going to need to store the Word of God because you're going to need it in your hour of darkness. Let me say that again. You're going to need to be able to reach into that pod and pull out the Word of God in your hour of darkness. Let me say something to you. You say, Brother Todd, is the hour of darkness coming for all of us? Yeah. And the amazing thing about it is many times the hour of darkness is not common in the way God goes about that in your life. It's not common to everybody. Many times it's in different forms, shapes, and fashions in your life, in my life. You see, you're going to need the Word of God stored, and you're going to need it on demand in your hour of darkness. Let me tell you why. Look, if you would, same book, same chapter, Psalm 105, 119, 105. Look at verse 105. Because in your hour of darkness, when you do not know which way to go, what decision to make, you feel like you're about to pull your hair out. You say, I just don't understand. I don't know what decision to make. Notice what it says. It says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. And folks, listen to me. We'll run to everything that we can think. We'll run to the Christian bookstore and buy a book. We'll run here. We'll run to counseling. We'll do all this. And the very thing that we need more than anything in this world, you have in your possession. It's the Word of God. We've got to store it in our heart. That heart is that pod that on demand you can go to and get what you need. But we're going to have it in our hour of darkness. And the Scripture said it's the Word that's a lamp unto my feet. It'll show me where to go. Look at verse 130. Same chapter, same book, verse 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto," I circled this in my Bible, and you can put your name out beside it, "the simple." But you know, folks, it doesn't matter from the pastor to the head deacon to whoever you want to cut, the wisest person, you don't have all the answers. You don't. So you know where you're going to have to get them from? And you know there's going to come a time where you're not going to have the Word of God accessible in your hands. And you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go that storage on demand. You're going to have to reach into that pod, open it up, and it better be there. There better be something there. I'm going to tell you something. In your hour of darkness, you're going to need that. That's the reason I believe that so many believers in their hour of darkness have nothing to fall back on. They have no resource. They open their heart up. There's no Word of God there. There's nothing for them to lean on. You see, when all fail or forsake you, and you become disillusioned, you lose direction in life, and you need answers, you better have the Word of God in storage. Because that may be all that you have. And when your hour of darkness approaches, we're going to see what you've been doing with your spare time. You see, most of us in our spare time, instead of storing, instead of taking the things that we need to do and putting them in our heart, you know what we do? We spend way too much time in front of the TV. You see, we spend way too much time with casual things, and what happens is when our time of darkness comes, we have nothing. Hey, there's nobody in here who loves sports more than I do, but you know what? That ain't going to help me in my hour of darkness. It ain't going to help me a bit. What's going to help me is the Word of God. That better be what I've got stored in my little pod, my heart. Because when my hour of darkness comes, I'm going to need something. It will come. If it hasn't already, it will come. It will find its way into your life through a number of means. It may be financial issues. It may be family issues. It may be job issues. It could be all kinds. It may be physical issues. But in your time of darkness, let me tell you something. If you're laying flat on your back, you better have something stored. You see, if Joseph hadn't have stored in the 7 years of plenty, there'd been a lot of people in trouble, including his daddy and his brothers. You see, sometimes your family is going to need something. You see, sometimes your family members are going to need something. You better have something stored up in store for them to give them. They're going to come to you and say, "Listen, I need something. Do you have a word from God?" And you know what most of us are going to do? We're going to open our heart up. We're going to go out to our little pod, open it up, and say, "Man, alive, you know, I just don't have anything in there for you." Yeah, what kind of Christian are you? Thought you people were supposed to be able to help us out. Thought you folks were supposed to give us a word of encouragement. Well, we ought to if we had something stored up. Now, we better start storing the Word of God. You say, Brother Todd, why? Because you're going to need it in your hour of darkness. And may I say to you, you're going to need it in your hour of temptation. You're going to need it in your hour of temptation. Look back, if you would, Psalm 119, 107. The psalmist says, "I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word." Did you notice he put in the verse and affiliated affliction and his word together? Which seems to me that the Word of God has something to do with helping in our time of affliction. I don't know about you, but I've been tempted major by the devil just like you have. You know what? It ain't fun. I feel afflicted. You know what I better have? I better have something in the old pod. I better have something stored up in my day of temptation. Look in verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. You know, when everything else leaves you, when friends leave you, when everything looks like hopeless, let me tell you something. The word of God is always true. The word of God is always there, and it's always accessible if you got it stored in the pod. If it's there on demand, and you know what? Many times when temptation comes, I don't have time to say, excuse me just a moment. I need to find my Bible so I can defend myself. You know, many times when I'm tempted, I don't necessarily have the Bible in my back pocket. So you know where I better have it? Better have it stored up so that I can do some spiritual battle. I say, listen, I don't have to find my Bible. It's stored in my heart. It's stored in here, and I can do spiritual battle on my job. I can do spiritual battle regardless of where I am because, listen, all I can do is open the pot up. There it is on demand. I've got it stored up. I'm here to tell you, folks, we're in a famine. We're in a famine in the Church of the Living God today of people that know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. They can't even tell you where some of the simplest stories are. I have in my Bible, I don't know, I'm going to guess about 200 or so Bible stories and where they're found in the Bible. And I keep this in my Bible. So, you're a preacher, you ought to know where these are. Yeah, I ought to. But you know what? You should too. And see, some of us don't even know where the simplest stories in the Bible. See, if I had somebody stand tonight and said, listen, I want somebody to stand tonight, or if I just pointed and called your name and I said, I want you to tell me where the story of David and Goliath is, stand up. I want the chapter, I want the book and the chapter. And I said, if you don't, then God Almighty is going to come down and destroy you. You say, oh man. Wait a minute, I know where the story of Adam and Eve is. That's in the first book of the Bible. What chapter then in the first book of the Bible? You see, I'm telling you, folks, no wonder the Mormons and JWs laugh at us. We're ignorant. We're ignorant of the Scripture. No wonder when they come to our house and you try to carry on a conversation when they tie you in knots, chew you up and spit you out. You think, man alive, I thought I knew the Bible. See, the problem is when these people come around, you open the pot up, ain't nothing there. Because you know what you're going to need? You're going to need the Word of God on demand. And sometimes your Bible's not going to be right there in front of you. You're going to need it on demand. Store the Word of God. You're going to need it in your hour of darkness. You're going to need it in your hour of temptation. Look down to verse 116. He says, uphold me according unto thy word that I may live. I like living, don't you? Kind of sounds to me like, if I'm going to survive in my Christian life, it's based on knowing the Word of God. And let me not be ashamed of my hope. Do you know Jesus stored it? Do you know Paul stored it? Did you know there were multiple people in the Word in the Bible that stored the Word of God? And they used it and quoted it in times of spiritual battle, in times of darkness, in times Jesus, the Son of God, used it in times of temptation. Just saying, folks, storing makes sense. Hey, did you know Joseph had a choice? He could decide, you know what? These people have been a pain to me. I'm only going to store up just a little bit. And then I'm going to hide some for me so I can make it through the 7 years and let these Egyptians starve to death. See, he could have pulled all of that kind of stuff, but he didn't. You know why? Because storing makes sense, and he understood the importance of it. Now, we need to store the Word of God. Let me give you another one quickly. Take your Bible, if you would. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. And verse number 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, stop right there just a moment. We're only going to look at verse number 19. But when you go down through there, there's basically three things that's outward evidence of someone being filled with the Spirit. You can see one in verse 19, one in verse 20, one in verse 21. And they are singing, giving, submitting. There they are. Outward evidence, being filled with the Spirit, singing, giving, and submitting. But I want to focus on the first one here. He says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to yourself. I said, boy, what's he talking about there, Brother Todd? Well, it says speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Time out just a minute. Did we just read just a moment ago that we're to hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against thee? Now he's telling us not only to hide the Word of God in there, now he's telling me I'm supposed to not only store the Word of God, now I'm to store a song. Now I'm to store a song in my heart if I'm going to be what I need to be as a child of God. Now, if you don't like to sing and you become disinterested in music, boy, you're going to have a hard, hard time in ministry. And may I say, you better thank God that this old corruption is going to put on incorruption and this mortal is going to put on immortality. Because last time I checked, there's a lot of singing going on in heaven. A lot. You know what it tells me? It tells me that God has something about this music thing. I mean, there's a lot involved in it. And you know what he said? He said that we're to store up psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not to you, not to others, not performing before others. He says, singing and making melody to the Lord. To the Lord. You see, over 100 times in the Bible, over 100 times, we're told to sing unto the Lord. Now, folks, you know, if God said it one time, that ought to be enough. We ought to practice it. If he said it twice, boy, there must be some emphasis on it. But over 100 times, he tells us in Scripture to sing unto the Lord. Many of you are quite familiar with Psalm chapter 100. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with, does your King James Bible say singing? Kind of sounds like there might be something about this music thing. Kind of sounds like that God wants us not only to store the Word of God up, sounds like he wants us to store our soul so that when we come into his presence, we come in with the Word of God and with song. And with song. You see, it's part of your personal worship. A song is part of your personal worship. Listen, we ought to store a song in our heart, gratitude for salvation. Gratitude for salvation. Boy, there's a bunch of good songs that we can sing before the Lord as far as being grateful for salvation. Man, you can sing a song like the old rugged cross. I cherish the old rugged cross. Till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. You see, I can sing something like that in gratitude for salvation. Do you ever sing to the Lord? Do you ever thank the Lord for salvation? You see, it's part of my personal worship. I ought to be grateful for salvation. May I say also, I need to be grateful for provision. You see, do you know I can sing about provisions too, like count your blessings, name them one by one? It will surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, I can sing the old rugged cross to give gratitude for salvation or gratitude for provision. I can sing a song like count your blessings, name them one by one. Hey, I need to be gratitude for fellowship. I need to be grateful for fellowship. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and or all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. He said, oh, what peace you often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You see, just gratitude for fellowship. Man, alive, you know, he said, does God want to, he wants to be our God. And you know, the scripture is very plain that Abraham was a friend of God. That means if Abraham was his friend, guess who was Abraham's friend? God was. I wonder if Abraham stored. I wonder if he felt storing made sense. You see, we need to be grateful for salvation, for provision, for fellowship. You see, it's part of our personal worship. But may I say also, singing is part of your personal walk with God. It's part of your personal walk with God. It builds faith in God's promises. You know, I go to the seniors meeting on Tuesdays. One of their favorite songs is this: be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Now, they love that song. You know what? I kind of think the reason they like that, I have a sneaky suspicion they may have experienced it. But they've stored that song in their heart. It builds faith in God's promises. Let me tell you something. Good music, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs feeds your spirit with joy. Like what joy? Like, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Right? Hey, I'm just saying, you know what it does? It builds joy. How marvelous. How wonderful. You know what we need to store? We need to store a song. We need to store the Word. We need to store a song. Why? Because it's part of your personal worship. It's part of your personal walk. And may I say, there's a longing inside you, and it's part of your personal want. You know what my soul is longing for? My soul inside me is longing for one thing, and that's to be reunited with its Creator. My soul is longing to go to heaven. And I use this song quite frequently in singing to the Lord, because you know, heaven is sounding sweeter all the time. It seems like lately, it's always, and particularly today, always on my mind. You know what I'm ready to do? Someday I'm going to leave this world behind, because heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. You know what we better do in your hour of darkness? You know what we better have in your hour of temptation? You better have the Word of God stored, and you better have a song stored. And let me give you one more, and that is, not only should we store the Word of God, store a song, but number three, we need to store a lot of love. Take your Bible, Matthew 22, if you would, quickly. Matthew 22. You know, the Scripture says, Matthew 12, you don't have to turn there, but the Scripture says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, wait a minute. Wait. We were told to hide the Word of God where? Where did Paul say that the songs, we need to be saying psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody where? You know why? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The old pod's empty. Guess what's going to come out of the mouth? Nothing. What, back up. There's things that come out, but not of God. See, we're not talking about storing up things for the devil. We're talking about storing up things for God. From out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, in that hour of darkness or that hour of temptation, you know what you can, you know what, if you've got something stored in your heart, you can get a hold of God, and you know what, these songs will begin to come back to your mind, and you'll be able to sing to the Lord. You know how I know that? Go back and find in Acts chapter 16, you find Paul and Silas. The Bible says that they were thrust into the inner prison. They were in shackles. And the thing about it is, about midnight, you know where they were? They were in an hour of darkness. But you know what? They had already stored up. They opened that pot up, that portable on-demand storage, their heart, they opened that up. The Word of God was there, but a song was there. And they began to sing at midnight. Man, I'm telling you one thing. Go back and read about that song. I don't know what they sang, but there was power in that song because an earthquake followed right after that. But the interesting thing, you go read that scripture, the interesting thing there is as they begin to sing, the Bible says the prisoners heard them. Wonder what they were thinking. You guys lost your mind. We're in prison. Don't you understand we're supposed to be yelling and cursing and acting a fool? Do you understand? It's our hour of darkness. We're supposed to be acting like an animal. But not Paul and Silas. Because in their hour of darkness, when they reached into that pod, you know what they found? The Word of God and a song. You see, storing makes sense. But also we're to store up a lot of love for people. Did you find your place? Matthew 22 and verse number 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. I want you to notice what Jesus says here. The question is asked, Master, which is the great command in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, he says, On these two commandments hang all. Listen to me, church. Hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hangs on those two things, and both the ingredient that is involved in both of them is love. It's love. So you know what we better store up? A lot of love for people. Flip over a couple of chapters to Matthew 25, because you know what? We're going to need a lot of love for the poor and needy. So you know there's a lot of poor and needy in the world today. We need to express our love of Christ toward them. Look at Matthew 25 and verse number 40. Remember, the question was asked. Jesus talked about to his disciples. Look at verse 31. Let me skip back there. It says, When the Son of Man shall come in glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his throne in his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and put the goats on the left hand. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He says, For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, come on now. When saw we? When did we see thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick and in prison and came unto thee? Now, I want you to notice what the Lord says in verse 40. And the king said, or answered, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So you know what we better have stored up? We better have a lot of love stored up, because there's some poor and needy that need to be loved. Don't turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. The Bible also says that we're to comfort the feeble-minded. You know, not only are there poor and needy that need the love of God, there are people, the feeble-minded, the weak in mind, those that may not be as educated in the Scriptures as some. We're to comfort them. We're to help them. Matthew 5:44, does it not tell us there? Jesus taught his disciples on the sermon, love your enemies. You know what that takes? That takes some storage. You see, that takes some time with God in a pod field, because you know what? You're going to find out your enemies face you, and you're going to need love on demand. You're going to need to be able to reach immediately and love them for Christ's sake. You see, we're to love our enemies. We're to love them that despitefully use you. Then nobody likes to be used, but that's going to happen in your life. You know what you're to do? Love them. That don't even make sense. No, but storing makes sense, though. Storing. Let me finish this up and say this, church. Your hour of darkness, your hour of temptation is coming. For some, it'll be multiple times in your life. You may not have a Bible right at your fingertips. You may not have a little Bible locator at your fingertips. If you've done your job during the 7 years of plenty. So when the famine comes and you open the storehouses up, guess what you're going to find? Plenty corn. You're going to find plenty of corn. That's what carries you through your hour of darkness. That's what carries you through your hour of temptation. It's the reason so many people are laying on the roadside of the Christian life, lamed, beat up, whatever you want to call it. I think the reason maybe is because when their hour of darkness and temptation and problems came, they opened the old pod, the heart up. There was no word in there. There was no song. And there certainly was no love. The world is starving to death for the love of God. You see, what the world thinks we are, folks, I'll just be honest with you. Most of the world, most of the world thinks that we as Christians are? We're fakes. Listen, I'm telling you, most of the world thinks more of the Muslims than they do us. Because they're saying, hey, these people are giving their lives for them. They thought, boy, they're dedicated, and what are we? You know what our problem is? The problem is we're not storing. We're not storing. We're not storing the Word of God, not storing a song, and we're not storing the love of God. Here's the final note, and that's this. I'm convinced we're in the last days. And I'm convinced that we're heading toward a time where one of the things that we learn about history is history always repeats itself. And the Scripture says, so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You see, we're not there yet, but we're getting there. We're going to find out what we've been doing as believers in our spare time when they try to take that book out of your house. We're going to find out what we've been doing in our spare time. You see, the thing about it is most of us can answer questions about this. We can give statistics about this. We can name every PlayStation game. We can name every Wii game. We can name all that and play them all. But let me tell you something. That's not going to help you in your hour of darkness. You better have something stored because there's a day coming. I'm convinced of it. Maybe not my lifetime, but it could possibly be in the lifetime of your children. Mamas and daddies, you better store the Word of God in their heart. Because there may be a day where the government tries to take this book out of their hand. So I'll fight them on that. Fine. We'll all fight them on that. But I'm still saying, what if they shut the Christian bookstores down? What if they stop publishing Bibles? What if they throw you in prison? Take everything, strip every word of God from you, strip everything, your hymn book, everything. You know what? Well, you will find yourself, and I might find myself in the inner prison at midnight. Wonder if we're going to be singing. We're not if you ain't got nothing stored up. You're not. So you know what? We need to prepare, don't we? Because if the climate of our day is heading in the direction I think it's heading, you better have something in storage because the famine is coming. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're visiting with us tonight. I want to thank you for being here, but with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here tonight and no one's ever taken the Scriptures and opened them up and showed you how to be born again. I want to pray for you. If you're like that tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home, but I sure would like to know, would you pray for me? If you're like that tonight, I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, pray for me. That's me. That's me. Anybody like that? Just slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died tonight that I'd go to heaven. Anybody? Anybody like that? Just slip it up way up high. Way up high. God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, boy, I've done a poor job of storing up the Word of God, storing the hymn, storing up the love of God that I need in my heart in these last days. You see, it's amazing what we talk about at church. It's amazing what comes out of our mouth at church, but it's just what's in the abundance of our heart. The mouth speaketh. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, I haven't done a very good job storing the Word of God in my heart. You might be here tonight and you say, Brother Todd, my memorizing, I struggle with memorizing, then read it. You say, I struggle with memorizing and reading it, then listen to it. Whatever you've got to do to get the Word of God in you, get it in you. Get it in you. We've got to store it in our heart. That's your pod, because you're going to need it someday on demand. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Brother Todd, I haven't done a very good job of storing, but I know it makes sense. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand right by. Say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. I'm not doing a very good job. Not doing a very good job, but I'd like to. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, you've seen the hands tonight. Maybe there's some tonight that have been saved but never been scripturally baptized. I pray that they would come tonight. We had a couple, Lord, that raised their hand, not sure about their eternal destiny. They need to settle that tonight. And then, Lord, there was a lot of us that said we're just not doing a very good job of storing the Word of God in our heart. Lord, most of us in this room, if our life depended on it, if someone called a simple Bible story that we've heard 100 times and held our feet to the fire on it and demanded that we give them a chapter and a book and chapter, most of us couldn't do it. It's because we're not storing. The pot of our heart is empty tonight. We're going to need it in our hour of darkness and our hour of temptation. Have your way in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Brother Shaddix is going to begin to sing. Would you stand with me tonight? If you raise your hand, would you come? Whatever the case may be, I'm telling you, my dear friend, that if the climate of our country continues to go in the direction it's going, you better have something stored up in your heart. Your hour of darkness and your hour of temptation comes. You better have the Word. You better have a song. God's going to need you to love this lost and dying world. You better have a lot of love stored up for a lot of people. The Lord said, "As much as you've done it unto one of the least of these, you've done it unto me."